Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman, Johnny Beattie. And we're going to be joined by Wales international, British and Irish Lion, and now bereaved back rower, Ross Moriarty, shortly, to look ahead to France's trip to Cardiff. But first, Johnny, how are you doing? Because you've just come straight from lunch with last week's guest, right?
It wasn't a boozy lunch.
Okay.
It could be a lot worse. It was very respectable. No, it was good. Take Michelle and his Mrs. Maddie out for lunch in Le Bain in our little village. So just back from that. So a three-courser, couple of beers, nothing too crazy.
Not wine pairing, no?
It wasn't aggressive, but we've signed ourselves up to go aggressive. We're going to go aggressive and get everyone involved and try and get them in sort of wider circle group of friends that we have down here. So, mate, really nice lunch. Good to catch up with him. He's going to take me for a surf lesson soon as well. So, no, good lad.
And that isn't the only rugby player you've been fraternizing with this year. Not a surprise, you are a rugby player, ex-rugby player, but a current rugby player. And this one, well, it is for work, but I mean, it looked like it was fun.
So I was down for World Rugby in just outside Montpellier in the Camargue region, which was nice. Spent the day with Cobus Reinach. It looked a little bit Yellowstone, maybe a bit Brokeback, if you ask my missus. She was like, what were you up to?
I was very tempted to take the still that you put up and put it alongside, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal from that movie. But then, you know, I don't want to be offensive. Like, who wore it better, Johnny or Jake? Don't know.
Definitely Cobus. but, mate, we had an amazing day. So we actually, a little bit of time learning about Provençal culture. We were, like, working the bulls down there. We were on top of the Camargue horse that, like, even family friends down there don't get to ride the horses, but they let Cobus ride because he's a double World Cup winner. So it was pretty special, pretty privileged to get to do it. Really cool to catch up and spend the day with Cobus and talk all things Rugby World Cup and doing the double and life in the south of France. So that'll be coming out on Rugby Pass TV for a new show called Fresh Starts in the next few weeks. We did Will Skelton and Sam Whitelock last week as well. And yes, someone's got to do it, mate. It's terrible work. But no, great lad. Nice to meet Cobus in person. I haven't seen him since I played against him a long time ago. And yeah, he's killing it, isn't he? So great day, working the horses, working the bull. Absolutely shit myself. Nearly got mowed down by a 600 kilo. Oh my days.
Took a liking to you, that one.
Yeah, needed a change of pants after that. That's all I'll say. And you can watch it when it comes out in a few weeks' time.
There's a trailer if ever I heard one. Johnny needing a change of underwear because a bull took a liking to him.
Shitting his pants. Yeah.
And before we get onto Six Nations chat, obviously ahead of a massive round this weekend, we should just touch on the France 7 side and a certain Antoine Dupont, obviously all over the media making headlines. And France have been building in terms of their sevens team. So it's not just Antoine. They've been investing more of it ahead of a home Olympics. There is a ball coming. Oh, he's pretty good, isn't he? I mean, 19 years without a title, his second event, and they win the thing.
He's a freak, isn't he? And it couldn't happen to a nicer boy. And that's the reason he's gone off to be part of it, right? Is to bring home a gold medal at the Olympic Games. France hadn't won for 19 years. The last time they won, Vincent Clerc was playing as a young pup before he went on and cracked it with Toulouse and the French team. So it's just been incredible to watch, mate. Like the media storm around him, the attention that he's brought to the competition, to sevens. There's actually quite a lot of, not hate, but, you know, people being quite mean on social media, but the amount that he's drawing towards the game in a different format is awesome. Like, I don't know why you would hate on that. To see him bringing success, yes, they've been building nicely, but he also happens to be the best player in the world. He's creating things. He's offloading. He's crossfield kicking. He's bringing that vision and rugby IQ from 15 straight over to sevens. And he, imagine me going over. I'd look like a 108-year-old man trying to play, whereas he actually has got the speed, the quickness, the sharpness to look like he's been doing it his entire life. So incredible for him. Wonderful for French rugby. Hopefully just a start before they kick on and try and do it in July here during the Olympic Games. And yeah, super chuffed for him.
Yeah, I think all the negativity just comes from the fact that it's like...
jealousy. It's got to be jealousy, yeah, right?
Basically. And the fact that it's sort of the Antoine Dupont show, but that's not his fault. He's the most understated guy you can get. Yeah, France have been building. They've invested more in it. Clearly, home Olympics, they are a better team than they were a few years ago. But I don't know if they win that tournament without Antoine Dupont or not. Probably not, the evidence suggests.
Well, statistically, the last 19 years would say most definitely not. So, that's what he's brought. And again, it is just the fact, look, he is the best player for me on the planet, especially when it comes to initiative and creativity and getting out of situations. It's everything you'd want in a sevens player. And then he also has the pace to burn or offload and get people away so they can finish. So, man, incredible to see him. Not enjoying the negativity on social media. And I've just really enjoyed his performances. The media storm that's been drummed up around the competition. Because if you look at the stadium, like Cape Town, great. Dubai, great. Australia, great. And then LA, there's been a bit of a drop-off. So it's actually quite nice that Vancouver and LA, he's there to try and boost, whether it's broadcast, interest in the competition, tickets for next year or the final day's competition. These are all positive things. So he's done a fairly, fairly incredible job.
Okay, Six Nations now. Big deal this weekend. France, couple of weeks since, obviously, a disappointing showing against Italy. We were talking about discipline before. Hopefully they won't get a red card. Hopefully they'll be able to play with a full complement this time around. But what are we expecting from France? What's coming out of the media there?
It's a weird one with media and French rugby public. Everyone is very negative at the minute because it's very easy to jump on the bandwagon when things aren't going well. I had my baker this morning as I went to get my baguette.
So French.
It is what it is. Dropped the kids off, went to the baker, and then he's telling me he's in mourning for the French side, and it's been the death of... I'm like, mate, come on. Like, they're missing half their team. They're still to come back. You had Mourad Boujelal this week on the Moscato show, which is Vincent Moscato, the old hooker for the French team, basically dumping on Fabien Galthié. He's no longer the man of the situation. Why is he there? He's only good with exceptional players. I mean, yes, you lose eight players, it's going to have an effect. But I don't know. I think people in general need to realize that this is high-level international sport. We go through cycles. Sometimes things are off and they will come good. The other thing from French media has just been the desire and want for new, fresh faces. That often happens as part of that a lot, the Scottish side, when it isn't going well, right? Who can we bring in? What will fix? What can we change? And I think this week we will see quite a few changes, which is exciting, what people want. But I would still just temper all this want and expectations from new faces that it's going to take a little bit more time. All those nuts and bolts we've talked about, backline, up front, lineouts, all these little things that take time with new coaches, they will take time to settle. But the quality is still there. The quality of coaching at the top is still there. And the players are still of a level that they will come good and they will compete, say, in next year's Six Nations. But obviously this one's just been a bit of a disappointment. So yeah, there'll be a few new faces this weekend, which hopefully will make a little bit of a difference.
Those new faces are out of necessity, right? Or are we going to see some that are not necessarily enforced changes?
Well, you've obviously got Joe Daunty. He's been sent with a 5-game ban and off to tackle school. So we're going to have a new centre. Injury again with Mathieu Jalibert. He's gone. So we're going to have a new 10. Second row, we've had more injuries and suspensions. So we're going to see some new faces there. So it's exciting because there's some people that we spoke about pre-comp that have missed out because of injury just before. They'll come in and get their opportunity. So it's a mixed batch of things that have been forced. And actually, people that hadn't had the opportunity because of injury, they're not coming and getting their chance. So, mate, I'm excited. It's not like these are people that are unknown quantities. These are top-level pros that have been excellent for the past 2-3 seasons in France and well worth a bit more game time.
So the team hasn't been confirmed yet, obviously, but let's float the names that we think are going to start out there. Is Thomas Ramos starting at 10 in place of Jalibert?
Yeah. So I'll give you the team that they've been running with on Monday, and we're recording this, on Tuesday, just after lunchtime. So the team they ran with this morning. So they've got Baye, they've also had Movaca and Marchand splitting time at hooker. So we might see Marchand come back and start. Antonio Tyhead, Thibaut Flamand, and Waukee have been swapping in the four jersey. Manny Miafu has been running at tight head lock, which is great news for Manny. If he gets that first start in Cardiff, outstanding for him. Greg Aldrich's been back with the eight bib on. Cross on Olivon. We've had Luku at nine, Ramos at 10, Moifana and Fiku at centres, Louis Biaibare, Peno and Leo Barry has come in at fullback. And he's maybe one that maybe people have sort of eyebrows raised or won't know too much about, but he's been incredible for Stade Français this year, playing at fullback, can play 10 or fullback. I think he scored an absolute worldie of a try against Leicester. I think I was at that game during the Champions Cup. And he has been on incredible form. He's been blocked, obviously, by fullbacks that have been performing tremendously well. Ramos has been exceptional in the 15 jersey, but there's a boy, young, hungry, pace, great vision, great kicking game, can come in and do a job. So made a few changes, but just excitement for those boys that have been training so far this week, and hopefully they'll get the nod on Thursday morning to start in Cardiff this weekend.
Yeah, and that's the big call, Leo Barry. I think if it does go that way, obviously, I suggested the last time we recorded that he probably was going to go with Ramos at 10, but you could see why other people might think he should go for Antoine Pastore, given what he's done in the Champions Cup, given the body of evidence and how well Ramos is performing at fullback. So that's the big selection, really.
It is the big selection. Hastoy was obviously the third choice at the World Cup as well. A bit of a dip of form at the start of the season with La Rochelle, with all of their players away injured. They absolutely crucified Clermont on the weekend. Like, they've now got they still don't have Skelton, they still don't really have Greg, but the rest of the body of that side is now clicking into gear and they are dangerous. Brice Doulin is the other one that is still ripping up. Now probably his age profile doesn't fit, and that is why Leo Barry, young, as we just mentioned, athletic, quick, brings that sharpness.
Big as well.
Mate, he's huge. He's 6'3", 6'4". So he brings a real point of difference and X factor to that fullback jersey. Excited for him. Delighted for Manny to come back in.
And he would have been there ahead of round one if he'd have been fit.
Exactly. He would have been starting ahead. Yeah, friend of the show, Paul Valemsa or Pasola Tuilagi, who have come in later. Manny would have been starting in the five jersey this competition. So there was a chance that the ship might have sailed and he was going to miss the entire competition. But the fact now, hopefully he's got two tests to be part of in the last two rounds to show what he's made of. And let's be honest, he's been absolutely destroying the top 14 in European rugby. He is built for this stage. So delighted for him to get that chance, his first cap, and to experience it in Cardiff this weekend. And Leo Barry, another one coming in with Moifana, with Louis Biaibare and Aldrit. These are changes of guys that we know. So Leo Barry's the only real sort of young one that people won't know about. The rest, absolute quality.
And on the negativity versus perhaps a little bit of realism, obviously Cameron Waukee, Pasola Tuilagi, Paul Willemsen before that, they're no mugs. But all of a sudden in that area where France were so dominant before, you put Thibaut Flamand and Manny Miafo in the second row, if they are the starting locks, that makes a huge difference, right? Particularly the fact they know each other so well.
It makes the difficult bit is if you bring, and this is why you've had three rounds or three games where you've had a chance to work with a forwards coach. Waukee has been calling combination with Olivon. They've been trying to work on it. It is, I don't want to say a risk, but it is quite tricky when you have Thibaut Flamand and Manny Miafu coming back in and they haven't been play calling. They haven't had that time in the lineout sessions as the other boys have. That's the only difficult bit. In terms of ball carrying around the field, physical collisions, they're top class. But that's the only worry for me, is coming back in last minute with a week to prep with Semperé. How much prep can they get done properly, and how effective is their lineout going to be? Because that's been the big bugbear, right? That's where they haven't got ball. I've got no worry about their scrum. I've got no worry about them coming around the corner and ball carrying and tackling. It's, can they get ball at source away from the back line from lineout? And that's going to be the real, one of the big keys again this weekend. And that might be another reason to maybe start with Flamand on the bench.
But it isn't the case that they just slot in with, particularly if Julien Marchand comes back in, but even if it is Malvaca, you've got Cyril Bailly, Francois Cross, they all know each other. You're saying because it's a different system. A different forwards coach.
That's it. And that's maybe a reason that you leave Thibaut Flamand on the bench and you just let Cameron Waukee get on with the role. And it's not like he's been tearing up trees and had a great run of form, but if he's more familiar with the system and he can start and Thibaut Flamand can come in and take over that role in the second half, maybe that's how you go. But that's the only difficult bit for me and these guys, is it's the change in system, change in calling structure, change in lineout setup, And it's not always easy to come in with one. Essentially, we've got two, three sessions together, and then to execute at top level Six Nations is difficult. But mate, looking forward to seeing them get their chance and then running out this weekend in Wales.
And he's still pretty young, but we were saying last time that we thought it was going to be Yoram Mofana who came in the centre for Jonathan Danti. I presume there has been some clamour in France for either Emilien Gailleton or Nicolas Deporter.
Deporter.
He was good at the weekend, eh?
Did you see his try?
Yes, very good.
A wee bit shambolically defended by Racing, but he's run the ball in from 80, 85 metres, offered up on a platter by Tatafu. But he's another one that he's chapping on the door. He's got to go on the summer tour, Gailleton and him. And he brings size, he brings speed. He looks the full package, but he's not even getting a chance on the international side because there's top quality internationals in front of him. So, mate, it's Deporter. He's the next one that's got to get his chance on the summer tour. He's the next one that needs bled into the side because he is exceptional.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get a Welsh view on the game now then and have a chat about life in France generally, of course. Wales international, British and Irish Lion, and now Breathe back where Ross Moriarty joins us. How you doing?
Very good, thank you. Ex-Welsh international, I think.
Welcome to that.
It's been a good experience in France so far. You know, the rugby's a very crazy scene and luckily, we get great fans every week and we always play in front of good crowds, which is a massive bonus. But obviously, the lifestyle off the pitch is a lot more relaxed than back in Swansea for me. So, no, I've been really enjoying it. Thanks.
Just fill us in on how the move to Breathe came about, because you moved before the end of last season, didn't you, in April. So how did it all unfold?
Obviously, I've been at the Dragons for 4, maybe 5 years. And you know, I'd sort of gone out of favour a little bit. I had a few injuries in the last 2 years I was playing in Wales. So kind of fallen out of favour slightly. And, you know, I think I just, I needed to change and I needed to, you know, take an opportunity to just have a new start and fresh up. And, you know, obviously the season hasn't gone as good as we would have liked it here at Breathe. But, you know, I'm enjoying my rugby again. Touch wood, luckily. No injuries so far this season, and you know it's an exciting league to play in Pro D2, even though it's second division. And I've seen a lot of you know, people say, well, you know, you're dropping down to the second division in France, you know, it's not going to be that great, blah blah blah. But I don't think people realise how competitive the league is. You know, there's at least 4 teams, maybe 5, who could easily be in the top 14, but to get into the top 14, the way you've got to get there with the finals, no automatic promotion, playoffs, and then obviously playing second from bottom in the top 14. You know, it is a very challenging league. And I think that's what makes it so exciting.
Mate, it's horrible. I absolutely hated it. In that it's a I'm being bad. It's a marathon. There's a game every single week. Like, I came from the URC like you, where you're used to getting rotated and rested, and there's none of that here. This is an absolute grind. How far up this table can you get your town, and can you get them promoted? And what's weird as well is the pressure you feel, because you mentioned that support with Breve. And last time I bumped into you, I think you just signed. You were with Patrice Collazo. You were having dinner in Les Halles, and like, you looked totally green. You had no idea what you're walking into. But the pressure you get from representing that big a rugby town that's incredibly proud, and they turn out every single weekend and they want their side back in the top 14, it's mega. Like, and it's quite hard to describe that to people back home, because unless you've been here and you've experienced it, and you've experienced the fan power and that desire coming behind you, it's hard to explain. But that's the magic of French rugby, right? Is how much it means to people here. It's incredible.
No, it is. It is. You have to come here to see it to realize how crazy it is. Because, like I said, you know, you can walk around town Saturday, Friday, whatever day it is, and you know, all you can hear is, you know, the birds, no noise, no hassle, no trouble. And it's like, come to the game. My friend came over a couple of weeks ago and he was like, I've never seen fans act like that in his life. Kids crying because we were losing, you know, old people stamping on their berets with the Breve badge on it. The passion and support for the club, and especially at Breve, and not, you know, there's plenty of other teams in Pro D2 with the same sort of passionate fans. But yeah, the fan base and the passion is, you know, it's you can't really describe it unless you see it for yourself.
And you will have had an idea of that, but not any idea how passionate they were until you got there. So talk us through, because you all have had other offers on the table at the time. Talk us through what the club said to you, how they sold the sort of project, and why you chose Breve.
It was all done very fast, because, you know, I met with my friend Martu Martu, who was playing at Breve when they were playing against Scarlets in Europe. And the deal came about basically, I asked my friend to speak to the coach and just have a little word and see what he says. And then it turned out that week was the week they needed to sign someone as a medical joker. So that's how it came about that I ended up leaving with immediate effect, because we only had two games left. The Dragons, obviously, sadly, there was nothing to play for. Breve obviously did have something to play for. We had five games to go. And to be fair to the Dragons, they were very good and they were understandable. And they said, yeah, that's fine. You can go, and, you know, good luck. And sadly though, obviously we didn't quite stay in the top 14, but, you know, we had a tough run, but we beat Montpellier, which no one would have expected. But yeah, sadly, we just didn't have enough games to just get into it. But I feel like if we had a couple more games, we could have had a different story to the end of last season.
And mate, you mentioned again the sort of backdrop of how and why you came over, and injuries and things not quite going the way you wanted it to. But like, I remember at the time, when you're fit and when you're playing, you're like, you're one of the best back rowers in the world, right? Like, you're a bit of a freak physically, you dominate collisions. That's the sort of bread and butter to your game. And there was a bit, I remember you saying that you weren't quite understanding why you weren't getting picked, because when you got back on form and you were fit, you still bring that. So did you get a sort of closure as to why you weren't getting picked, or why selection wasn't going the way you wanted it? Because like, for me, an old back rower looking in, you'd have been one of the first names on the team sheet. So did you get to figure out why, or what was it that meant that you weren't getting picked?
Well, it's a very nice compliment, obviously, being told you're one of the best back rowers in the world. But for me, I wouldn't say I am, but I appreciate that a lot. But you know, I was, for the last period of the time I was playing for Wales, I was getting injured, and then I was obviously coming back, and then I was playing straight away, and I never really felt like I was getting thrown straight into the deep end without having any sort of game time prior to, you know, Six Nations, Autumns, summer tours. So I never really felt like in the last few years before I left Wales, I wasn't really ever at my best. And, you know, it's understandable. Obviously, coaches are going to want to see other players and they want to test new things. And I understand that completely. But, you know, I was quite frustrated at the last period of my time in Wales, because, you know, I did feel like you know, obviously I had that run of games and I played basically the full season for the Dragons, and I feel like I put my hand up and I still wasn't getting selected. So the disappointment which obviously comes with that is it really affected me, because, you know, I love playing for Wales. And obviously people say, oh, you played for England under 18s, under 20s. But at the end of the day, I was born in England, lived there for 2 years, grew up in Wales, went to school in Wales, ended up in college in Harbury, and England were the first team to give me an opportunity, and I had to take it with both hands. And then obviously, luckily, it worked in my favour and I got to play for Wales, which I always dreamed of. But yeah, I feel like, after the last Six Nations we played in, I had a feeling something was going to change. Obviously, PVAC ended up going, obviously, change of staff again with Warren coming back in. And, you know, I think there was a big sense of, even though I'm only 29 years old, which isn't, you know, considered old in rugby, I guess. I think people forget how young I still am, because I've been around for such a long time. But yeah, you know, watching Wales now, at the beginning, obviously I was a bit bitter and whatever, but now, you know, I think I kind of moved on from that, and I see the world and the rugby in a different light.
You mentioned you're only 29. You also mentioned how good the level is in Predator that people don't realise, and people often sort of look down their nose and say that you've dropped down a level. So given the landscape and the fact that there is so much talk about Welsh players playing abroad and getting selected or not selected, and you are obviously eligible, you have plenty of caps to your name, do you feel a bit like a forgotten man?
You know, I haven't really thought about it, because I've been so engulfed in obviously playing for Brive. And, you know, I did get asked to go to the World Cup camp, and I said, you know what, I've been let down and I've been so disappointed the last 2 years. I kind of just wanted to make my own decision for a change. And, you know, obviously I'm grateful for the opportunity to be asked to go to the World Cup. But at that point, I was sort of like, you know what, this is a new start. I want to put my best foot forward for a new club. I want to obviously, you know, show that I'm here to give my all for this one team. And, you know, that's what I said I was going to do, and that's what I've been doing.
You still have ongoing dialogue with the... Again, I mean, it doesn't make sense. For me, like, I've played in Predator. I always thought you still have the internal capability to play for your national team. I thought for Scotland could still do it. Mate, you're 29. Clearly way better than I was, and you definitely still can play for Wales again. So, like, since that World Cup camp, is there still an ongoing dialogue? Do they still keep tabs on you, or has it gone quiet since?
I haven't had any contact personally. You know, I'm still friendly with some of the coaches, and obviously I speak to some of my mates who play. But, you know, I don't know whether they're watching any of the games or if they're interested. You know, they've got a lot on their plates at the minute, with obviously trying to remould a team and do what they can there with the players they've got. So I think they're probably just concentrating on what they've got in their pool of players within the Welsh regions.
And so you mentioned you're friendly with some of the coaches. Obviously, you played under Warren Gatland a lot in his first spell as Wales coach, not since he has been back in his second stint. But if he was keen to get you involved ahead of the World Cup, he must still look at you as a player of interest, or at least he did a few months ago.
Well, I guess so. You know, like Jonathan Humphreys, he was a very good coach when he came in the last couple of years, and he still is. And, you know, we had a good relationship, and I really feel like he was, you know, he understood the way I was, and, you know, kind of really got to know me personally, which then helped my rugby a lot more. Obviously the way I work or the way I learn, and, you know, that's a big thing in rugby. And I feel like Jonathan Humphreys, he was a very good coach, and he was a very good player manager, you know, man management type of coach. So yeah, no, you know, like I said, I'm not sure whether they still watch or if they have any interest in watching me play in Pro D2. But like I said, you know, we're playing against Argentina on Friday, and there's two boys in that team which have been playing Premiership all their careers. They won two Junior World Cups with England, and, you know, they're playing in Pro D2 this weekend. And, you know, for people to turn around and say, oh, well, you know, it's a lower league, but you've got a lot of good players from a lot of different countries and backgrounds playing and all fighting for clubs, which it means everything too.
Mate, there are some absolute gems in Pro D2. I think people forget as well. There's players in there that you forget, and you end up coming up against, and they're absolute freak shows. People just forget they're there. Mate, again, more on Wales. So What difference have you noticed for this French side that are going to be playing Wales this weekend? Gatland under his first spell is second. Like, what changes have you noticed, or what nuance or difference the way they play or how they set up? Have you noticed any difference, or is it still the same type of game?
I would like to think, obviously, you know, the first half of the Scotland game was obviously a car crash for Wales. But then they come out, seems like, you know what, boys, we've got nothing to lose here. We've got young players, and obviously just from watching some of the videos and whatever, just don't play with any fear. And I think that's what they did in that second half against Scotland. And obviously, you know, they pushed it very close and no one was expecting a comeback. So I think going into this weekend against France, who are probably not full of confidence at the minute after the World Cup, and you know, I'll say it, you know, they definitely shouldn't have beaten Scotland, which was very disappointing to see. And, you know, when Wales play in Wales in the Principality Stadium, I just feel that with the crowd behind them and, you know, I know obviously, you know, they struggled in Ireland, but Wales haven't won in Ireland since 2012. You know, it's always going to be a tough ask, even when we were at our best and we were still ranked high up in the world rankings a couple of years ago, we still couldn't beat Ireland and Dublin. So I feel like Wales at home this weekend, I think, you know, if I was France, I wouldn't come thinking it's going to be a walkover, because I'd like to think that the Welsh boys are going to be thinking, you know what, we got nothing to lose here. Throw the kitchen sink at it and, you know, have a really good go.
And there's still a lot of talk in the media and punditry about this France side being big and having to move them around and make them do lots of running in comparison to the sort of profile of the Wales side. So is that too simplistic, or is that how you think Wales will approach it?
Well, I wouldn't say that Wales are going to beat them physically. You know, it's obviously, being a Welshman, it's hard to say, but you know, you look at the French pack, you know, the front row is, I don't know how big it's going to be, but you know, it's going to be absolutely humongous. You know, you've got humongous second rows. You know, Wales aren't gifted with having naturally huge people, so the one thing that they will be backing themselves on is their conditioning and their fitness and their skills. I think that's definitely the game they're going to try and drag France into, maybe a kick battle, and then obviously try and wear them out by running them a lot. But this is the problem when you play against French sides. They'll have these huge forwards, and then they'll have someone who just does something out of nothing, and it's like, where's that come from? So if you can contain those little spark moments, Wales are going to have a chance of you know, having a good result.
What have you made of Dav Jenkins as captains, mate? Because it's an incredible achievement at such a young age to be named. And again, the contest this weekend, you'll be up against Manny Miafu, Thibaut Flamand, Wauke.
Yeah, so it's obviously an amazing achievement to captain a country at any age. But obviously he was, what, 21, I think, coming in. You know, he plays maybe one season at Exeter. So he's still very inexperienced. There's a lot of pressure on his shoulders, but you almost feel like, Christ, give him a little bit of a break if he may not have a world-class game and stand out, because, you know, he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders. But I'm sure, you know, obviously, like I said, he's got a very experienced coach, Warren Gatland, who's coached, you know, Alan and Jones for the last five many years. I'm sure he's got some very good words to be able to say to him to keep him, not letting the burden of the captaincy on top of him.
And Daffy Jenkins is obviously at the forefront of a new generation for Wales. And aside from your situation, obviously you've seen what's happened to certain other players even before the World Cup, because you look at the likes of England, other countries as well, in terms of the regeneration they're going through. But there's still a lot of experienced players being picked, whereas Warren Gatland in his second spell, even before the World Cup, seems to have taken the approach of, we're going to clear out the old guard and we're going to invest in youth. So, I mean, as an experienced player, what do you make of that? Do you think there should be more of a blend, or do you quite like the fact that he's saying, let's take it forward with the youngsters?
I think it's tough. It's tough for any squad to just say, you know what, get rid of all the experience. But there is still a couple of experienced lads in there. Obviously, George North is playing, Anne Beard's in the second row. Both got a lot of caps between them, probably more than the starting team put together. But, you know, when you watch some really top teams, they'll drip feed young players into experience, and obviously then they'll have less pressure on their shoulders. Obviously, they'll have more experience around them to be able to help them through certain games and certain situations. And I think it is tough for the young lads. Like, I think the fullback is what, 19? And he's been brilliant. But yeah, I think doing it the way he's done it, obviously, I'm not a coach. Mark Gatland's obviously coached a long time and knows exactly what he's doing. But I think it is tough for maybe some of the younger lads, and they're maybe the only handful of experienced players to try and, you know, try and nurture everyone. So I think it's tough just clearing everyone out and just leaving it to one or two players. I think it is tough for those experienced players there.
And it's a hot topic for everyone at the minute, but it's a sort of qualification and the overseas eligibility. Who can play for the country? Joe Hawkins missing out because of the 25 cap rule. Used to be 60 caps.
Yeah.
And I guess every country's got their own domestic product, right? But you look at the issues that Wales have had financially. You now look at England, they're about to lose a raft of players overseas, like Australia, New Zealand. Everyone's asking the same question. South Africa do it differently. How would you work it for Wales? What do you think the best setup? How many teams would you have? And would you let your best Welsh players go away and play abroad and then come back for international games?
So, I don't understand why, if a player is performing good enough, whether he's playing inside of Wales or outside of Wales, but why would you not just pick him? Like, well, why would you put a rule on this that you have to try and stay in Wales, you have to play for a Welsh club, when financially you're unstable, you're unsure whether there's a club going to go, you know, obviously not as much money to be able to spread around the group of players, which is there. So to me, I think it's a rubbish rule, and there's absolutely no point in being there whatsoever, because all the students burden in the country.
Yeah, I think, in some certain situations and other countries and stuff, it has worked. But essentially with Wales, it's not worked in stopping those players from moving overseas when they haven't got 25 caps.
No, and this is the thing. If you haven't got the money to be able to sustain the clubs you've got and obviously pay players fairly, which they know, obviously, if they move an hour or two up the road to England, they're going to get it. You know, I know people say, oh, you should stay loyal to your country and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, if you're doing the same job and someone offers you 50 grand more, you're not going to say no to it, yeah.
The way I always saw it as well when I played was, if you'd performed well enough and you'd stood out for your country, you know, it was a real reward. Like, you'd then prove that you were good enough and a big team abroad wanted to pick you up, and then you're off the wage bill. And another, especially for countries the size of Scotland or Wales,
yeah,
and
then exactly.
Alleviates a spot, another youngster comes through. So
exactly.
I've always thought this. It's different for a country like New Zealand, where they've got their domestic product, they have to protect it at all costs. But for countries with a rugby economy like Scotland and Wales, mate, you've got to let them go. Otherwise, you're just shooting yourself in the foot.
Like you said, when you haven't got the financial stability, which is obviously quite clear in Wales at the minute, you know, there's always talks every season about, oh, club may go down and, you know, we're going to only have three teams, maybe two teams. Everyone's always on alert of, we don't know if we're even going to be here next season. So if you can go to, saying that, the same situation happening in England at the minute with a lot of clubs being in financial pressure. But, you know, for young boys who are being told, look, you can stay play in the bottom of the league, or you can go to, like, obviously Joe Hogan's gone to Exeter. You know, why wouldn't you go there? Like, I don't see why he would have stayed, because, you know, he's obviously maybe getting a better experience in Exeter. You know, you look at the table of the URC, three out of the four Welsh teams are in the bottom quarter. So what benefit is the young players getting by just getting smashed every weekend as well? Because if you look at it, that's what's happening at the minute. So if you can have an individual go to a team, which is obviously, you know, even if they're winning half their games, it's still going to be better than the majority of what the Welsh teams are doing at the minute, which is only going to make them better.
Back to Wales on the international stage, and in your position in the back row, what do you make of them at the moment? Because they are very young there, very green, lots of youngsters who haven't even played a lot of regional games, but are now being thrust into the biggest stage of all. And you know, France have got a lot of hefty back rowers. I mean, they're doing pretty well at the moment. You've got Alex Mann, Tommy Raphael, yeah, and Aaron Wainwright, who's got a bit of experience in there. How do you think they're doing? And then when you sort of add into the mix Mackenzie Martin, who's physically impressive, but very young, very green, and then obviously Jack Morgan to come back, who do you see us being the Wales back row moving forward when everyone's fit?
Obviously, Aaron Wainwright is probably locked in at number eight for now, obviously with Toby being injured. But, you know, Aaron's put his hand up and he showed that he is willing to put his hand up. And obviously, Carty's, you know, he's been playing as best as he can in a team which has not been performing that great. So I think Aaron's obviously been playing good. But, you know, like you said, Alex Mann, he's hardly played any professional rugby and he's been thrown into the Welsh shirt, and fair play to him. Obviously, two tries in two games, he must be absolutely smacking himself in the head thinking what's going on here. But no, fair play to him. I think you're only going to get better if you get thrown in the deep end, and then they're just going to wait and see if you swim or sink. And then that's the thing. Obviously, you've got Tommy Rafael playing in Leicester, but you can pick him, and you've still got Jack Morgan to come back, who was absolutely outstanding in the World Cup just gone. So there's a lot of competition. You know, Tim Basham, not the Dragons, you know, he's been overlooked slightly now because, to be fair, Tommy Rafael and Jack Morgan are performing world class. So it's tough. And, you know, you've got Thomas Young. I know, obviously, he's been overlooked a lot, and that's very tough for him. But I think the only thing which is holding him back is the fact that maybe just looking at these kids and thinking, you know, we've got an 8-year plan. And that's the only thing I could think of for them not to be able to pick him.
And Gats has still got your number, Ross. Gats has still got your number. So if he wants a bit of experience moving forwards, is your phone on?
I've changed my number now, actually. I've got Fred. So he may struggle actually with me. But no, yeah, of course, you know, if I ever had the opportunity again, you know, look at Dan Lydiot. He was locked in that position in Wales for, you know, a very long time with him, Sam Walton, Toby Faletau, Justin Titrick, and I think people forget like how tough it was to break that mold when I broke it. You know, it was an unchanged back row for such a long time. Lions together, you know, Australia tour, New Zealand tour. It was huge. And, you know, Dan obviously is, we all know what sort of player Dan Lydiot was. And I was raw when I was only 21. And luckily I put my hand up and I ended up breaking that mold. But, you know, it went full circle. Dan came back in and I was out. And, you know, Dan was 33 or 34 years old, so you never know what's going to happen.
I was going to say, you got a good few years on Dan, so the comeback's still on.
No, exactly. So, yeah, seeing Dan come back in and play after, obviously, I get on well with Dan. He's a great bloke and he's a lovely guy. And, you know, I do feel like, obviously, I pushed him out and I got my spot and I cemented it. And then I was out and then he came back in and I was like, Christ, he's 33, 34 years old. He's... you know, there's hope for everyone.
Exactly, mate. If he's doing a 34, you're 29, the comeback is definitely still on. I guess the other area would be fly half, which has been not contentious, yeah, but it's sort of up for grabs as well, right? So you got Sam Costello, you got Lloyd. Who have you enjoyed watching? Like, who would you like to see take the jersey and be the Welsh number 10 for the next 2-3 seasons?
Such a tough position to be able to say, right, this is who we want, then this is who's the best, because it's hard to say. You know, we've had Gareth Anscombe, who's obviously been struggling with injuries, but he's a great player, who was covering Dan Biggar, who was obviously always great for Wales, who's obviously stepped back now, and now it's like we're left with, oh shit, we haven't got much experience now. And, you know, there's a lot of, as you know, with any team, even if you're playing in the third division, getting thrown at number 10, and number 10, if you haven't got much experience, is always going to be a daunting experience, and you know, it can make or break a player. But yeah, I think obviously they've got who they've got in that team at the minute, and they're obviously just going to keep on going with them. But then I keep on seeing Rhys Patchell performing well in the Super Rugby, and I'm like, you know, there's not like we're really that thin on international players, but like Rhys Patchell's made the decision to move to the Southern Hemisphere. And it's only going to make him better as well, because he's playing with the best in the world. So, you know, you may see him back in a Welsh shirt soon.
Absolutely. Looks like it's going well for him. And we hear Gareth Anscombe might be moving to your old club, Gloucester, next season as well. So you never know, yeah, if Gareth Anscombe comes back, starts playing well for Gloucester, who knows?
No, exactly.
Back to this weekend, you mentioned France will not be particularly looking forward to heading into the cauldron of Cardiff and kind of taking them on. We've talked about the physicality difference between the two teams. Where is it going to be won and lost? Is it going to be that kind of forward battle, and how Wales sort of combat that physicality of France? And if they manage to do that, they might be in with a sniff?
I think France are very lucky they got Sean Edwards to make sure that they're not going to be turning up cold with a, you know, with a, oh, this is going to be easy, because Sean would never let that happen. You know, he coached Wales for God knows how long, knows it inside out, understands the passion, understands the how they train and what will be getting put into their heads before the game.
And a bit of a chip on his shoulder about maybe not being offered a longer deal as well?
Nah, you know, it's worked out very well for Sean. I'm sure he hasn't got no problems with that. So, but I think that is that the only thing I'd be worried about if I was France is obviously coming in a bit thinking, oh, this is going to be easy walking apart. But, you know, they had a scare against Scotland. Sean's not going to let them turn up and think it's going to be, you know, walking, like I said, a walk in the park. And for Wales, I think, if, like I said, if they can move the ball around and play with no fear, and there's no comparison in the size of the packs, if you move them around, I know obviously Wales, they'll definitely go to a kicking game and try and get them running. But if they can do that, you know, they can, like I said earlier, they've got every chance of winning.
Every chance, but it's two teams, I would say, pretty much on transition, right? Two teams that are still trying to figure out who they are, lots of new players coming in. You got to put 200 grand of your own money on this game. Who's winning it?
I'm going to go with France, obviously, because they...
It's 200 grand, Johnny. He's not going to just chuck it out there.
Mate, I thought you were going to say Wales.
200 grand there. I'm not betting on a jittery horse on this one. But, you know, like I said, France, they've got a very experienced pack. They got, even though they've got a few injuries in the back line, they're all playing the top clubs in Europe. You look at the Welsh team, inexperienced, they're doing their best, but you know, there's only so far that's going to get you. But you know what, like I said, I wish them all the best, and I really think they could shock France if France turn up and think it's going to be a walk in the park. But I'd have to put 200 grand on France.
Mate, if it was a tenner, he might have gone Wales, Johnny, but 200 grand.
Yeah, that was it.
Come on. I wanted to properly find out, didn't I?
Anyway, that is big in Cardiff this weekend, but the huge game this weekend, Ross, you against Agen, level on points in the table, both of you. You mentioned it earlier on. Yes. How's that one going to go? How are you shaping up?
So I think there's three of us. So currently we're ninth, but we're all three of us, or four of us, joined on sixth and fifth. So that's how tight the group is in the league. And obviously, the way the Pro D2 works, obviously you've got to be in the top six to get in the playoffs. Obviously, top two don't play quarterfinals, but then the third to sixth play quarterfinals and then so on. So, you know, we did lose against Agen earlier in the season, but I feel obviously with Pierre Bronkin, he's come in and he's done he's brought a different coaching style, and I think he's been great for us. And, you know, we just don't lose at home. Like, we don't lose a home and then we go away and we always struggle, and that's what we need to crack at the minute. And like Johnny said, you know, the fans are crazy for it. You know, it can be up and down sometimes emotionally for French players going away from home, playing at home, which is something I luckily don't struggle with. But I do feel like that is a big factor in French rugby, is away and home advantages. But yeah, you know, if we win this weekend, we've got every chance of doing something good again into the playoffs, and you never know what's going to happen.
How would you describe your new coach, mate? Because obviously things were a little bit tricky with Collazo. He left the club, he's now at Montpellier. The sort of never-ending circus of coaches moving, jumping about, shipping the top 14 continues. And it wasn't an easy start to the season, but you mentioned they're a different style. And Pierre-Henri had obviously been head coach at Cast. He was then with the Wallabies and Eddie Jones during the World Cup. But how would you describe his style to people that don't know him? What's he like as a bloke, and what's your sort of style playing as a team that he tries to implement as a coach?
Obviously, with the change of coaching earlier in the season, obviously Pierre's got his way of playing. Obviously, Rhys had his way of doing things. So, you know, it was never going to work straight away. But I do feel like the team is definitely moulding a lot better, especially with our attack. But you know what it's like. There's always things you need to work on. And like I said, with the away and home advantages for some of these French lads, it's crazy to explain. But even with the referee and in Pro D2, that can really make a game sort of, you don't know what way it's going, because I do feel like the home advantage is so strong in this French Pro D2. It can really sway a referee and fans really get on their backs. But he's a great bloke. He's got a very good understanding of the game. I like the way he wants to play the game. You know, he's obviously added his bits in as he's been here. He was at Bath for 2 years as well, which I didn't realise. And then he had that experience, obviously, with Australia in the summer. So it's good to have a coach who's seen other coaches, you know, how they prepare teams, how they train teams, different styles of training sessions. And to be honest with you, with him coming in, it was a lot similar to how I was used to training prior to coming to Brief, which has been good for me. So yeah, no, I've only got good things to say about Pierre. I think he's a good bloke and he's a great coach. And I think if things don't go as well as we'd like this season, definitely next season we'll be in contention for that top spot.
And next season you've got a certain Courtney Laws joining you, whichever league you're going to be in. So you're looking forward to that?
Yeah, it was when his name came out and I seen it, I was like, this is going to be big if he comes to Brief. Obviously, he had a look at Provence, which are a top team. And if you've ever been to Provence, it's not far from Toulon. It's a lovely, lovely place.
Courtney's coming from Northampton. Brief will suit him fine, won't it?
Well, this is the thing. Small place, crazy fans. But I think he will enjoy the fact that he can walk through the streets in the middle of the week and may not even bump into anyone.
mate, but you obviously know him, right? You've played against them loads. You toured with him in 2000 on the 2017 Lions tour as well. So you know him, he's a mate. So did he pick up the phone and ask, like, what's the place like to check out the vibe? Were you showing him around town? Like, actually, give him a hand?
Yeah. I actually get on well with Courtney. Like I said, I played against him from a very young age when I was at Gloucester and he was obviously at Northampton and then moving into the Wales setup, playing against him for England. And I always enjoyed playing against Courtney because even though I'm not 6 foot, whatever he is, we have very similar styles of play, as in we're both physically confrontational, you know, enjoy the nit and gritty of the game. So yeah, I always enjoyed playing against Courtney, but to think about playing alongside him next season is very exciting because I think, do you know what, if you can have more than one person doing a similar thing, which I bring to the team and he brings to the team, you know, he should be absolutely destroying packs. And, you know, obviously we've got some other great experienced players in the pack already, so it's only going to add to that. But yeah, no, it's really exciting. It's huge for the club. You know, there's only 50-odd thousand people living in Brief. They've got a huge financial backing, which we're very fortunate to have with investors, and a lot of them are English as well, which is quite crazy. But yeah, no, they've done a great job of signing Courtney because we know he's always going to give his best every game.
You mentioned that financial backing and what it's like in Pro de Dirt and now the news of Courtney's arrival next season as well. Do you feel a big pressure at Brief? Obviously, you only got relegated last season's first crack at it. We know there's a change of coaches, but you can sort of see the investment. So does that come with an extra pressure?
Yeah, it does come with pressure. There is a lot of off-field pressure from the fact that we are getting that financial backing and, you know, obviously, as an investor, you want to see results. And like I said, the season hasn't gone as smoothly as we would have liked. But they're quite clearly not afraid to sign and do what they need to do to get big names, big players who are still, you know, Courtney, I don't think he's going to be 35 when he turns up. He's still, you know, he could be starting for England, which is huge. So, you know, you're not going to have a undercooked Courtney Laws coming to Brief. You're going to have, hopefully, gets through the season for Northampton fresh. Doesn't get, you know, obviously he's stepped back from playing natural rugby, which has a huge toll on your body. So, you know, I think he's going to suit up next season. I think he's going to be absolutely flying.
Thanks so much for coming on and filling us in on Brief, the game at the weekend. If you do end up in the Pro de Dirt playoffs, that is a hell of a mix up at the end of this season. So maybe we'll get you back on if you're in those, because it'd be great to chat about that. And also, good luck with Johnny's 200 grand this weekend. Lump it all on France. Safe bet.
Yeah, I'm not actually doing it for any betting companies. So don't worry about that. But no, yeah, it's going to be an entertaining game on the weekend. I think Wales are going to, like I said, I think they've got nothing to lose. They got young kids playing, and I'd like to think that they're not just going to roll over and say, yeah, you can take the win.
Cheers, Ross. Thanks for coming on.
Sorry, boys. Thank you.
Have a good one this weekend, and we'll catch you soon.
Thanks, Bob.
Ross, very candid there, Johnny. Clearly joking about changing his phone number, but he's there. He's there. He's still there, Gats. We can give it to you if you want.
The only number I picked up was he got 200 grand to bet on this weekend's game. I was thinking hypothetical. He was getting serious. No, mate, he's top class. He's 29. He's a British and Irish Lion. He is a physical boy. He's abrasive. His old man was some player as well. So look, like, I really hope that Breve, almost like for him, like get out of the top 14. Imagine seeing him and Courtney Laws knocking around the top 14 next year. Would be absolutely incredible. With you got Marcel van der Merwe, a tight head prop. They've got quality players in their back line. Like, they've got a tidy outfit. But again, you could sort of sense the frustration there about the away from home, the performances, the lack of consistency. These are all new things that you have to get your head around when you arrive in France, and it can drive you nuts. But I really hope that Breve, you know, difficult start to the season, big club, big backing, as we mentioned as well. It'd be great to see them back on the scene and back up in top 14, because they are one of the historic sides of French rugby. They've won a Champions Cup. And yeah, if they're going to do it, boys like Ross, Marcel, they'll be central to the effort. And you'd love to see him back in a red jersey, wouldn't you? Because he's on his day, he is one of the best in the world.
And it doesn't affect him because he's got a sack full of caps already, so he could be picked. But not holding back on the 25 cap rule with Wales as well, which a lot of people agree with him, should be scrapped given where they are currently.
Yeah, look, it's very easy for a country like France because everyone's playing the rugby in France. But for smaller rugby economies like Scotland, who seems to have got it right and it suits them with two teams, but they still have their best players like Finn Russell playing abroad, Wales have to go down that route. I don't think you can penalise players for performing well for your national team by then not letting them be picked again if they go abroad. So I agree with them there in that if you're a union, you have the player base that Wales and Scotland have, you kind of have to retain as much as you can at home, and then you let your best talent go abroad and perform in different environments. So it was good to hear him be open, honest, and give his point of view as well.
Right, we'll have a brief look at the top 14 and look ahead to the other games in the penultimate round of the Six Nations in a minute. But first, let's find out what your meter moment of the week is, Johnny.
Oof. Mate, there were a few individuals. Did you see McAlew's try at the weekend?
Yes, I did. Yeah, very good.
That was outrageous. Sidestepping, beating people, running in from the halfway line. Deporter, we mentioned him earlier, his finish from about 80. Tatafu setting that up for him. But it's neither of them. And I was hanging out with Kobus Reinach, and it's Montpellier, mate. Winning away from home against Oyonnax. That's the sort of head-to-head for going down. Another win. A hat-trick for Lenny Nucci, their back row, who's 20 years old. They gave him the captain's armband. He got three. They're up to 12th, mate. And they're now 5 from 6 in their run. They're the only team with Toulouse to sit at that level. And that could be a catalyst for a surge to reach the barrage. So well done to them. Awesome result away from home. Gets more difficult now for Oyonnax, doesn't it? Really becomes tricky. But for Montpellier, after a really horrible phase in the middle of the season, another big win on the road. And things are looking up for them.
And another young back row there. Is that a name we should be looking out for?
So, mate, he was part of the under-20s that won the World Cup again last year. You see how much it means to him as well. He was in tears. They lost away from home at Perpignan a couple of months ago. He was in tears at the end of the game. Couldn't handle the emotion. So, like, he was a boy, young, raw, physical. Means a lot to him to be playing for the club as well. And they've given him the armband at 20 years old. So, yeah, another one. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Another young French rower, French back rower coming through. Plenty of quality. Hat trick at the weekend, and he's only going to get better.
There we go. That was Johnny's meter moment of the week. And meter is the world's number one wireless meat thermometer, recently making over 20 million cooks better with their game-changing app and completely wireless Bluetooth meat probe. You can use it on a barbecue, in the oven, or in a pan, and you can get your hands on one at meter.com. Plus, you can get 10% off any full price item. All you have to do is enter the code FrenchPod10 at checkout. That's FrenchPod10. And you'll get 10% off any full price item at meter.com. You mentioned Montpellier's win. That was a big one in the top 14. Elsewhere, Toulon beat Perpignan. Good win for them. I'm not as interested in the game as I am by some of the reports I was reading about Toulon, Johnny. This is interesting. Allegedly, Pierre Mignoni had sent a message to his players telling them that the smoking area was closed. He's clearing it out. And then it was leaked to the French media and he wasn't happy at all.
Mate, there's been an uproar about this. So he sent a WhatsApp. It wasn't allegedly. Like, he's obviously sent it. So there's a message that says, right, boys, weighing in at 9 a.m. Monday morning, fat testing, and then clear out basically the ashtrays at the club. It's no longer acceptable. You can't be smoking at the club, which has happened. But somebody's then taken a screenshot of that WhatsApp in the group with the players and shared it with a journalist from the Keep who's printed it in the paper. And Toulon have had, you know, an up and down year. I've got a few mates that are playing at the club, like good pal Matthew Bastro. It hasn't been easy, right? And there's a lot of volatility in that area. People are quick to jump on the staff and the players when things aren't going right. So Pierre is trying to, you know, boys, this is something that has happened. It's tolerated in loads of clubs. I'm not sure if that's a shock to everyone, maybe in the wider rugby public, but in France, a lot of the boys still smoke. A lot of the French
boys. I was going to say, it's 2024, right? This is a cultural difference in France that people will not realise.
They won't get it in other parts of the world, but culturally in this part of the world, people still smoke. And therefore, there are certain areas in the club that they're allowed to sneak off to, but it's maybe getting to the stage where they're like, it's kind of taking the piss, or there's too much, or we have to clamp down. And that was what was put in this WhatsApp group, him trying to move things forward and shift the dial. But somebody screenshotted it, sent to a journalist, and the journalist had printed it. So there was a big stramash post-match press conference. Pierre called out the journalist who sent you that message, because he feels betrayed by the journalist, but actually it's internally. Whoever's screenshotted that and sent it to the journalist has betrayed his teammates and betrayed Pierre. So that's been kicking off. And again, if you look that up on YouTube, there's basically Pierre Mignone going back and forth with a journalist from L'Équipe, asking him about four or five times, who sent you it? Who sent you? Who sent you? And he gets pretty heated.
He's not going to reveal his sources to Pierre Mignone. So.
Exactly, yeah. He can. And it should be more, I think, it should be more Pierre has to ask the question internally, because the journalist is never going to really like reveal the source. But internally, who sent this to L'Équipe? And then you find out who's trying to cause trouble in camp. So yeah, that was one from the weekend. A little bit funny, a little bit different, and definitely a little bit more French than the rest of the world. But there we go.
More fun and games at Toulon. We thought they'd moved on. It's not Morehead anymore, but still a smoking area getting cleaned out. Lyon were hammered away at Bayonne. I mean, it's so up and down the top 40. I'm hesitant to sort of read too much into it, but are there issues there?
That was a humiliation. The weird thing is that on paper, that Lyon team, for me, is better man for man. If you go through the team sheet, they're better man for man than the Bayonne side. But they've come to Bayonne, they've been absolutely obliterated in the pouring rain, completely outworked, completely outcoached and outperformed. So I don't know. Again, it's a young coaching team with Lyon. Again, it maybe needs time for it to set and for it to come together, but it's the manner of it. Like, you go away from home, but we had loads of them at the weekend. We had loads of top sides packed with quality, with decent coaches going away and getting absolutely clobbered. You had Racing went away to Bordeaux. Again, they didn't really have a backup nine. So you had Lugarex away with the French side. He's protected. So they ended up playing Max Spring, who's their fullback at scrum half, to try and cover. Antoine Gibert was playing 10. And again, but they end up coughing up nearly 30 points. So difficult one for them. La Rochelle, you had Clermont. La Rochelle 42-3 against Clermont. You had Christophe Urus end of the game saying his side clearly displays an attitude de merde, which, for those that don't speak French, a shit attitude. Shit, everyone gets that reference. But La Rochelle, after struggling through the season, now have some of their big juggernauts, some of their power players back, and they look really difficult to contain again. So, mate, that is the top 14. It's just the sort of ebb and flow in the swing every single week. So hard to predict. And Clermont, again, their last 2 weeks hasn't been easy. A couple of difficult results, players getting abused on social media. You had Raka, Urda Pajeta getting abused by fans. So yeah, they're looking to turn things around quickly as well, because as we all know, 2-3 weekends in the top 14, you lose back-to-back and it becomes a very tricky place to be.
And a quick one on Pro de Deux, where Ross is, you were giving him 200 grand to put a bet on. You should have just given him €1, Johnny. Apparently, Beerits are available to buy for €1 if anyone's interested.
So that's very typical when something isn't going right. The investors aren't happy. So you've got the Gav family. So you've got Louis Gav, who's the big investor. You've got Jean-Baptiste Aldiger, who's the sort of front man for that consortium and for the investment. They've had enough. They want out. I think they were close to getting to Agen at the end of the season, but they couldn't sell Beerits. They refused, I think, 2 sales for 3 and 5 million. Now they have announced they're happy to let the club go for a sale of a symbolic €1. So they want to just write off their losses, give it somebody for €1 and let them take on the debt. So he was in, what are we, Tuesday afternoon, he was in this morning addressing the players, saying that they won't be there next year, that they will, and again, this is the volatility bit that Ross mentioned that's horrible, like whether it's Welsh rugby, French rugby, just saying to the players, look, your contracts are all going to be honoured until the end of the season, you're going to be paid, don't worry. But now it's what happens. Can they quickly get somebody interested to come in? They've had two parties recently that wanted to buy the club, but can they get somebody else to come in quickly? get investment, coaching set up, recruit for next season and try and get Biarritz back up the ladder, because they are languishing at the bottom of Pro D2. And again, they deserve to be better placed. Big club, big history, and hopefully somebody will come in and save them pretty quickly.
And just quickly before we go, a couple of big rumours for us?
Well, I was messaging one of them last week and he was like, mate, I've no idea what you're talking about. So Zaki Mercer, former player of the year in top 14, to Toulon. He's been quite vocal, you know, since not being picked up with England set up. He wants to be playing at the highest level. If that's not going to happen, can he move? Toulon's been the club that has announced they'd be interested in buying him out of his contract at Gloucester. Probably be a fairly pretty penny to get him back over. There's obviously no guarantee as well. When you take a player like Zach back, you're going to get what he provided to Montpellier. Different systems, different people, different coaches. So no idea, but it'd be an amazing move for him. If he wants to move back to France and he's written off playing for England, I mean, they take him back with open arms. The other one, Montpellier's Billy Vunipola. So in my mind, I thought Montpellier would be desperate to take Zach back, but
yeah,
it looks like they're looking to Billy Vunipola. But like, I think knowing Zach, knowing the club, knowing Montpellier, I mean, Zach going back to Montpellier would probably be the best fit, but it's not me that decides. The coaches have got a way of working. They'll see what they want. Interest in different things, as we see with Steve Borthwick. So hopefully they both end up somewhere sunny.
We will see. Thanks, Johnny. A big thanks to Ross Moriarty for joining us as well. And thanks to all you guys for listening. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a nice review if you can. Check us out on Rugby Pass and on YouTube. And we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, Johnny.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.